So listen, we started this series, and we started this series asking probably the biggest question of your life, and that question is, who is Jesus? Because from that question, everything else flows. So that question, who is Jesus? Jesus is our greatest treasure. And when we look at the gospel and we evaluate what the gospel has to say, we can look at the gospel in a nutshell. And in that nutshell, we find that God, in his grace, sent Jesus to live the life we could not live and die the death we should have died and rise on our behalf. When we put that into the core of what we understand, we find out that Jesus did everything and we didn't. And in that understanding, it's where we frame out, and that's the beginning. That's the beginning of what God is doing in our own hearts. That is the beginning of our faith. That's the beginning of everything that we know. So many times we look at that point of faith in Christ, and we say, this is the very end goal of my relationship with God. But in reality, that is just the beginning. And so as we looked at and understood that that's the very beginning, the fresh start that happens on our, that fresh start that happens in our heart. And if we are a person that has that relationship with Jesus that had gone stagnant, if we can bring ourselves to understand and know that there is a renewing that comes in my relationship with Jesus. And every day I need to understand and know better that Jesus died for me. That Jesus died and he rose on my behalf. And as we continued on the next week, we said we connect to the vine through God's word, through prayer and other expressions of worship. We connect to the vine through God's word. As we study his word, we find that we are connected. As Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And as we understand that and take that in, we find that our lives are forever changing. And we find ourselves going and thinking through, how is it that I can be a person who is loved? How is it that I can be a person of prayer, a person that is connected to the vine, a person who is able to be the very best when I am the most connected to my Savior? How is it that I know that I can be that one person? And then we talked about and understood that it's in that connection that Christ is made real. Then we said, you know what? It's not only that connection to the vine, but it's that connection to others. That we need to connect. We need to see the church as people to whom we belong. We need to see the church as people to whom we belong. And as we do so, our motivation for gathering, well, it changes. When we begin to see the church as what it is, the gathering of God's people, our motivation, it changes. Because we learn how to grow. We learn how to be invested in otherness. We learn how to be the body. We learn as we grow in love for God, for one another, and for our community. We find ourselves being the church. We find ourselves being the church that we are involved in service, that we are involved in Bible studies. We find ourselves being involved in bringing people into our own homes. We have dinner. We care for one another. We reach out to our neighbors. And all of that becomes a means to give as well as to receive. And then we learn to grow in our love for God, one another, and the community. In fact, it's that very love that sets us free to serve. So today, what we're going to look at today is this very fact that through God, through Jesus, set us free to serve others in love. See, Jesus gave us the Great Commission, which was to go into all the world, right? To go into all the world and to make disciples, to tell others about his goodness, his grace, and his mercy until he returns. That was the mission that God gave us, his church. He said that we should go and be people who go and tell others. We should be those people that walk into the byways and go and tell that we make a difference, not only in our homes, but in our state, in our nation, and through all the world. See, one thing that we know that can happen anytime that we spend a lot of time with another person, issues happen, right? How many of you have had that guest? That guest that was fun for the first day, maybe for the second day, but somewhere around day three, it's like fish, right? Begins to stink a little bit. We all have that understanding that when a group of God's people get together, sometimes issues come to the surface. And this is no different in God's word. It's no different in what we're finding that we're going to look at today in Galatians chapter 5, if you want to open your Bible to that. But Paul was writing to the church in Galatia. And they had different opinions as to what it looked like to be a Christian. Now, the issue at hand is a pretty personal issue in the lives of a Jewish man. But for some, it was really looking at it like this. Listen, if I am to be a follower of Christ, if I am to be an adherent to a religion, then I have to have strict adherence to the law. And Paul was writing to address this because there were so many in that church that were looking to going back to the old way of doing things. You have to remember, you need to get it in our minds as we read the scriptures that when these writings happened, when these letters were being written, it wasn't very long ago that Jesus had told them that everything changed. It wasn't very long ago that Jesus had been up on the cross, breathed his last, and was put in a tomb. But he didn't stay there. On the third day, he rose again, and it changed everything. And it changed everything for those that grew up learning and knowing about their heavenly Father. It changed everything because they understood that Messiah had come. But it was so easy to go back to the old way of doing things. So the issue at hand, Paul said, would bring them back to a level of indentured servitude. Paul said, listen, if you go the way that you're about to go, as you are interacting with those who have no history in Jewish life, that have no history in being the chosen people of God, if you go back to this, you are going back to slavery. The Galatians were at risk of falling away from the grace that Jesus had given them. And this was because of a few people's desires to live inside the traditions and inside the comforts that were provided by the traditions and the law. See, Paul told them on this matter in Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 6, he said, the only thing that matters is faith working through love. Paul said, listen, the very thing that you need to understand is this. The real issue at hand is that there is an offense that comes from the cross of Christ. There's an offense that comes from the cross of Christ because the cross broke the condemnation of the law. And through that breaking of the condemnation of the law, it brought freedom. And that was an offensive thing for the Jewish people to understand. Because all the tradition, all the adherence, grace came and it broke. Freedom to all was given through the cross of Christ, to all that would place their faith in Jesus. So in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13, here's what Paul says. For you were called to freedom, brothers. You were called to freedom. The cross of Christ, it beckons us, it calls us, it brings us to this place where we can live with freedom. How many of you need a clean slate? How many of you have needed a fresh start through your life? How many of you wish that life had like a game console, a reset button? We all do. But through Christ, we have been given freedom. You were called to freedom, brothers, Paul says. A clean slate. You were made righteous before God. But Paul says, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, Paul says, serve one another. And this is the struggle. This is where they're having their issue in the church. Are we freed from the law, or are we freed to love? Are we freed from the law, or are we freed to love? This is a struggle that we have between license and law. It's a struggle that we have as we try to balance what we see in the scriptures about righteousness and obedience and grace. Anyone ever struggle with that? Or is it just me? I've always felt this tension in my own relationship with God in this idea between license and law. Righteousness that I can make versus righteousness that only comes from the sacrifice of Christ. I struggle in that. Paul said, for the whole law is fulfilled in one law, in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, Paul says, listen, if you're freed to love, then you need to understand that the law is fulfilled in loving others like Christ has loved you. Loving your neighbor, that is not just the person next to you, not just the person that lives next door to you, but loving everyone, and not just the people that you like. Paul says, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. Paul said, listen, here's what happens when you begin to gnaw and bite and nip and pick and poke and prod at one another. Be careful that the very things you're doing do not consume you. What happens when the church is fighting over things such as how do we express our freedom in Christ? How do we express our freedom in grace and mercy? How do we express our freedom from the law in the midst of a community? Paul said, be careful what you begin to nitpick. Be careful what standards you begin to place out there, because those very standards could end up consuming you. Because we become more consumed with being right than with being loving. It's a trap that I've fallen into as a father and as a husband. Anyone else been there? More consumed with making my point than showing love. Good thing we don't do that in church, though. But this struggle is found in churches, and it was from the very beginning because Paul wrote about it. Churches do this all the time, and it's through those struggles when it comes to ministry. What ministry is more important? How to do ministry? How to worship? How vision is carried out? Paul said, "But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Paul said, listen, if you're going to commit to this community thing, if you're going to commit to what it means to live in a relationship with Jesus, then you need to learn what it looks like to walk in the Spirit, because if you don't, you will be gratifying the desires of your flesh. Commit to walking in the power and the vision that the Holy Spirit puts in front of you, that is being engaged in a life that is a life-giving relationship, one that breeds love and life and relationship, one that is connected through Christ to the vine. That is what our churches should be, that we become people that are transformed from the inside out, that we would not hold on to those sinful nature desires. Instead, that we would defer to the other in love. Defer to those who need to know the grace, the mercy, the love of Jesus. If we can learn to do that, then our Christian community will be a reflection of the love of Christ, not a reflection of our own selfish desires. So here we have two extremes: legalism and license. Legalism is trying to earn acceptance through works. License, it's wrongly applying the grace of the cross. Have you ever heard someone say, "Jesus will forgive me anyway"? Have you ever looked in the mirror and told you that yourself right before you did something you knew that you shouldn't do? Or that you said something that you shouldn't say. So here's what wrongly applying the grace of the cross looks like. It's misusing the freedom that Christ has given us. So here's what it looks like. Liberty plus love equals service to others. But liberty without love equals license. So if we live in this place where we say we have a license to do whatever we want, we live in a place where we have our liberty in Christ for our selfish gain. In the church in Galatia was an example of what the church worldwide was experiencing. He wrote this letter to explain to them the freedom that Christ had purchased. And what that freedom that Christ had purchased actually meant, that we are free to do what Christ wants. Listen, as Christians, we're not free to do whatever in the world we want to do. That's why we needed a Savior in the first place. But we are free to do whatever Christ wants us to do. We are free within the authority of God to exercise our obedience to Him with absolute freedom. That means that we are free to love and we're free to serve. And if we fall back into the law, if we fall back into keeping those standards of righteousness by works, we then end up losing our freedom. If we fall into an idea of permissiveness, we abuse our freedom. Paul continues, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you're not going to gratify the desires of your flesh. Freedom in obedience to Christ is what he's talking about. The gift that we have, this freedom that we have, must not be used as an opportunity to do what comes naturally to us. Because our natural inclination is selfishness in sin. It is not freedom to sin, it is freedom from sin. That is the bondage breaker. That is the bondage that was broken through Christ, was the bondage to sin. It's freedom from sin. Because of the gospel, we are not to lead a life that is unholy. Because of the gospel, we are free to enjoy a life of freedom in service and love to one another. Remember that our job as Christians, our job as the Christian community, is to spur one another in love and good works. Because we are no longer held, you are no longer chained by sin. We are free from the chains of sin to love others through service. Paul told us that we were once slaves to our sinful nature, held in bondage by the very laws that we couldn't keep. But through Jesus, we are free and every chain is broken. Paul said, listen, okay, for those of you that are record keepers, for those of you that need check marks, for those of you that need something to abide by, here's your law. Love. He directs the Galatians away from the law to embracing freedom that yields to the Holy Spirit. Our love for God shows itself in our love for others. That's our neighbors. Personal question. How are you doing in showing your love for your neighbor? How are you doing in expressions of Christ-like love to others? Is it staying within your family? Is it staying within just this family? See, our love for God should overflow into serving others, not just the others that we like, but the others that are outside our walls, outside our politic, outside our morality. The love of Christ goes across all manner of thought, natural boundary, oceans. The love of God goes to all eternity. And it was bought for and paid by the blood of Christ. But see, here's the thing. And I think this is true for almost every person in here, and I'm including myself here, okay? We like to follow the American way more than we like to follow the Bible. We love the idea of individuality. We love the idea of autonomy. Don't tell me what to do. I'm my own person, and my mama said I was unique, right? For some of us, though, we value the idea of anonymity. That I can slide in and slide out and no one knows I was ever there. We're fixated on this idea that the world can become something that is for our own comfort. That everything can be chosen and made the way that exactly that I want it. I mean, Burger King said I could have it my way. Those commercials that I watch, they tell me I can have anything that I want and I don't even have to have real money for it. See, we want things the way that we want them. And we want things to be for ourselves. And oftentimes when we start talking about our relationship with God, we want our relationship with God to be something that we do on our own power, on my own terms, on my own schedule. And God, I love you. God, I love the idea of you. But God, please, don't make me sacrifice my own comfort. And that idea trickles into the church, and it becomes a church that is absorbed with itself. And it's more absorbed in making its own comforts and doing its own things than it is about looking in love to those who don't know Jesus. Don't presume that you're a growing Christian if you're not seeking to love others outside of your own community. Don't be a person that says, you know, I'm just really more concerned about how I feel about God than whether someone else hears about God. Actually, I'm more concerned about coming to church and sliding in and sliding out, not really seeing anybody, being kind of like a church ninja. Just getting into my worship service so I can check that box and get back out so I can go do what I want to do. See, we all have the freedom to do that, but that's not expressing our freedom in Christ. That's taking license with the freedom that comes from Christ. We need to express the freedom that Christ gave us through engaging in community, this community and the community outside, to love and to serve those who need Jesus. Yes, it begins in here. It begins in helping one another know what it looks like to spur one another on in love and good works. It starts here in teaching our children. Teaching them that there is a God who loves them, that there is a God of wonder, and that they would never lose that awe of the Heavenly Father that created them, that sent His Son to redeem them, to ransom them. And it moves into our student ministry. It trickles through our adult ministries, and it is the power in which we know that we are connected to the vine. And through Christ, we do our service to the church. Through Christ, we do our service to the community. Through Christ, we do all these things. See, Paul gave this warning. He gave this warning to the church. He says, listen, in case you don't know, this is what a selfish community looks like. And we're going to look at this again. He says, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Paul is talking about the church, the people inside the church that are doing things like malicious talk and gossip. Now, what's malicious talk? It's judging the actions of others and placing their motives as being self-serving all the time, all the while you're questioning their character and their upbringing, right? Must have been their father. Have you met their father? I saw their father once. It's spreading vicious half-truths about another person. That's malicious talk. Or it's gossip. And that's making the practice of talking about things that are none of your business the major currency of your conversations. It kind of starts like this. Oh, well, I heard, right? These practices, among many others, are the exact opposite of the working of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Anyone remember what the fruit of the Spirit is? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those fruits show us that love is our motivation for service. If we know that our interactions with one another are coated with the fruit of the Spirit, that we are bearing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, as that love finds its way through our ministries and into our communities and into our studies and all of those places, we find that love is our motivation for service and that love is our fuel for our obedience to the Word of God. You ever find yourself struggling in doing the next thing that God tells you to do? You ever struggle with understanding what God's will in your life is? For so many of us, it's because we have chosen not to do the last thing that God told us to do. And God said, listen, you will know my will when you do the next right thing I told you to do. And as we learn how to show love in community, we find out that love is the lesson that God has been teaching us over time. From the very beginning of creation, God was teaching us the lesson of love over time. The amazing thing about love is that it takes the place of all the laws that God had ever given. Love your neighbor as yourself. That solves every problem in human relations. Paul said in his letter to the Romans, owe no one anything except for love to each other. For the one who loves another, get that, fulfills the law. If you love people because you love Jesus, if you love people because you love Jesus, you will not steal from them. If you love people because you love Jesus, you will not lie about them. If you love people because you love Jesus, you won't envy them. If you love people because you love Jesus, you will not try in any way to hurt them. See, love in the heart is God's substitute for law and threats. Perfect love drives out fear, and perfect love restores. See, God, through Jesus, set us free to serve others in love. So here's my challenge for you, is to embrace your freedom in Christ to love others, that you learn what it looks like to love your neighbor. We're not just talking about saying hello from the driveway. We're talking about what does it look like to love my neighbor? What does it look like to love my neighbor in this very room? For some of us, it means that we need to stop talking. We need to stop talking about them and start praying for them. We need to stop trying to make things about ourselves and ask, God, what can I do for them? See, love in Christ sets us free from the burden of always trying to get what we want. Because that kind of love, it brings us to the foot of the cross. And it brings others to that same place for one reason, that they too can be free. That they too can have those chains broken. That they can be free from the burden of sin in their life, just as you are. God, through Jesus, set us free to love others. Would you pray?